Welcome to Diary on One Podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandela Kandepwe, also known as Aka. Today's guest, or this episode's guest, is somebody very special. I think I met her 4 years ago at an event. I think it was Innovation Week, and it was at Zanaco, and she was the MC. So I'm always envious of people that can stand in the crowd and like speak to people and keep it going, right? So we met then, and over the years we've established an amazing friendship. She's somebody that makes me smile any day and calls me out, like, you know, those friends you meet in public and you're like, "Ewe." Yes, that's us on any given day. I have loved seeing her growth in everything she has done and building stuff from scratch and truly believing in herself. This could be business. Actually, I would say businesses, and her running them and her fully becoming the woman she wants to become. With that being said, please welcome my friend Eunice. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, ma'am. How are you?
Yeah, did you just describe me? I'm flattered.
That's how I describe you. Write a book and I'll now add she's a book author. People just don't know.
You know what? That actually sounds like
yeah. It's in the near future. Bless us with a book.
Absolutely.
How are you? I know that you have been transitioning to in different ways lately, and just want to know how you're doing with the transition and just life in general.
I've been transitioning since the day I graduated school.
I know. Ooh. That's interesting.
From the time I graduated from uni, I was just reflecting the other day. So life does move in stages. 1 minute you're no longer a graduate, because I feel when you're in school, you have a timetable for the next 4, 3, 5 years of your life.
Yeah.
What you should do. Immediately you're done. Now it's like every step you take is really up to you. And whether you fail or win, it's really up to you. So moving from uni as far back as what, 2021, 2022, 2021. Yes.
Navigating the... We always think that transition only has to do with major life events. I never really think of it when I am living my day-to-day life, because I'm thinking...
Right.
This is my day-to-day life. And when something major happens, great that you've kind of brought that up. And it's something for us to reflect on, to say, hey, we are actually transitioning every single day.
Absolutely. The last 5 years of my life have really been transformational, I would say. You know how we say, oh, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? To be honest, some of the things I wrote down as to where I see myself in the next 5 years are actually the things I'm living in. And it's very important to also just take note of when the next 5 years start and end, because we continuously live. The other year you're saying the next 5 years, but when do your next 5 years actually start? And I graduated, I navigated the workspace, started, built businesses in the last 5 years, from 2021 to 2025. So from 2020 to 2025, yes, this year. Built businesses, got married. So there's been a lot happening to me. And it sort of feels like sometimes life slaps me in the face and just gives me a wake-up call and say, hey, get on your feet. Yeah, and I just got married, I think, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, 4 weeks ago. You're actually probably clocking a month in 2-3 days.
Yeah. Oh, girl.
I know. How's married life? How's our husband? I know you hate it and they say, how's our husband? But how's our husband?
don't start affirming my husband, please. I beg. The atmosphere has a way of believing what you say.
but you always say good things about your partner, and I always say this to my friends, because I have friends that are married. Welcome to my married friends kind of crew. And I'm friends with both partners, right? And I always say this to people, if you've given me a light that your partner is this amazing person, I also know him. It's good to affirm men that are doing the right thing.
True.
I think that there's a lot of negativity that's going around when it comes to relationships and it comes to men. So, hey, like when we have the good ones, guys, Tashan, same thing. It's like when you find a good woman too. It's hard to find a good woman too. I'm sure your husband is also telling his friends like, hey, my wife this, my wife that. Even the friends should also affirm. Because why not? It's hard to find companionship. Trust me. You know my stories.
I was actually listening to an audiobook, Law of Attraction, and I was amazed at how we have so much power within us to realize what we affirm. Mm-hmm. That's just by them speaking them and seeing them come into reality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that I affirmed every quality or characteristic my husband holds. I literally wrote it down in my diary and I couldn't to be before it came to pass. I said, you know what? This is the type of husband I would like. And guess what? I got exactly what I was looking for. I think when you speak of negativity, you attract it.
Yeah, so you attract it.
Everything you speak about, the universe has a way of affirming it for you.
Yeah.
You speak men being cheaters, you speak about men being all this and that, that is the energy you're going to attract, and the universe will just be like, oh, hey, bring your way all the cheaters that ever existed. So it's really about affirming what you want, regardless of what the circumstances may be. You may be in the wilderness, but you need to speak life into your situation so that your mindset gets you out of there.
That's so true. You firstly, one of the things I like is you are what you think about. Before we start talking about other people, if I think of myself as this brilliant young lady doing big stuff, I will attract that when it comes to my life, right? If I think that my friends are amazing, which is, I always say this to people, my friends are amazing people. My friends are definitely amazing people. Like, you're living proof of that, right? And if I think of, I like my partner and he's amazing and he does this and that, he will be that. And if he's not, go to find a way of removing you from that situation. There's this quote I like to say, or a meme, where I say, when you tell God, if it's not for me, remove me. The next day it's out. Something just drastic happens and it's out. Then it gets out. So, yeah, you are what you think about. God and the universe really does give you what you are speaking for yourself. And I think it's in the Bible. I don't know what verse it is, where like it talks about the power of the tongue. My mom is very big on that. Ever since I was a child, she's like, the tongue is very powerful. If you speak things out loud, they will come back to you in tenfold, so you have to be careful. So yeah, I think there's a lot of negativity going around, and because we're all accepting it, passively or not, but we're accepting it, so it's really just playing out for all of us.
Yeah, so true. And speaking of the power of the tongue verse, I think that's Proverbs 18 verses 21 that says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So definitely, it's the onus is to us to continuously speak life into situations. Interestingly, my sister, I know she'll hear this. When we're having conversations, even in the most negative situations, I would always affirm positivity. And she would always tell me, Eunice, relax, it's just an example. And I'll tell her, I know it's an example, but I don't believe it can happen. I refuse for it to happen. Eunice, can you relax? It's just an example. I don't understand those things. The spirit does not take examples. It will just take it. It will just take your words as they are. So, no, thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
No, she's
about to share negative news. She'll just be like, ugh, Eunice. She'll just refuse. Even before you say it, she'll just be like, no, not me. I bind, not my portion.
And also now let's talk about negativity you might get from others, right? I love to be an optimist. But you find yourself, if you hang around complainers, people that are negative, you will become negative, even if you don't notice that. So if you're not careful with what you interact with and the environment you're in, you're surprised that, yeah, I'm always happy. I'm always an optimist. Why am I finding myself in situations where everybody's complaining? Because it's very hard to nudge people into positivity than it is for you to be nudged into negativity.
Right.
So we find ourselves in situations where you've always been positive, and if you don't block certain things early, that will just become part of your identity, just part of that environment. You now start to become familiar with certain languages. For example, I think I was back home in April. I met a high school classmate, and I was with my best friend. She was working, and I was just hanging in her space. And I was like, hey, you know what? Now I've become a billionaire. Like, I always say this, not even as a joke, I'm very serious. I'm like, oh, no. Do you know what people need to do? Like, they start using the Bible against it. Like, oh, no, money is the root of all evil. And I'm like, do you know what that statement means? Right? Like, I think you're using the Bible wrongly. And he spoke so much. And it's very hard to also convince somebody It's hard to convince somebody that what they're thinking is wrong, because that's the piss. That's just the, what's that word, Janice? That's how they view life. I'll use that. That's how they view life, and we should respect it. And when he said all that, he preached to me how I have to be evil to get money, to be that rich and everything. I just said, you know, I do respect your thinking on this. I just want to say here and now that that's not going to be the portion of my life. In a minute, things will go well. Even if they don't, they'll always go well in the line they're supposed to.
Affirming positivity. I had a friend of mine who felt...
And he was so surprised. I'm like, nah, it has to be. It's not, which is also valid and okay. I just don't accept that for my life.
That's so true. That's so true. And I think you did well for yourself by refusing to affirm his perception about life and make it your reality. I think most times, and this is the power of influence, sometimes we don't even realize how we are being influenced by our friend's perception about life and buying into the idea of what they think it should be. And before you know it, you're all depressed. They say, you know, if you're hanging around with people of a certain nature, you too will begin to emulate it. I don't want to be as blunt as the Bible says. When you hang out with fools, you will become foolish.
Hi, sorry. Was that me? Is it my internet that's bad?
Yes, I
think so. Okay, but one thing for you as well is you keep...
How is it now?
Hi. I can't hear you. Oh, through my ears.
How is it now?
Now it's good.
Okay.
Okay.
Can we continue?
Please, I do not know where I left you. But I think you're talking about perception. His perception, yeah.
Talking about perception, and sometimes we don't realize that we make other people's perception a reality for our own lives. And so it's very, very important to associate with the people whom you are aligned with, where you'd want to be. Because as bluntly as the Bible puts it, I hate to say this, when you hang out with foolish people, you are the
foolish. Yes. Facts.
I really do agree that we should always call a spade a spade. And sometimes it's not even the person speaking. Sometimes it's not even them. It's really the enemy of progress just nudging on you, because we are influenced by our friends, and sometimes it matters, and so we tend to believe even the things that shouldn't be. So you have to be very, very sensitive to rebuke the enemy of progress in them speaking, using them. We have this colleague of ours in uni who just complained about exams, about school being hard. I can't study. I can't understand. Guess what? They failed. I told the lady that, look, I think I can't continue studying with you if you continue to carry this energy. So I just said, no, I'm not going to do this. And that's how she failed school and she couldn't finish. So yeah, it's very true.
And I like something you've mentioned. You actually also reminded me of, I mean, my physical environment and people around you, the physical environment. Well, in turn, it could be everything. It could be what you are consuming online, what you interact with, or you're watching and non-progressive things in your environment or towards your work. You will actually feel that. So yeah, I was actually trying to look for it. But this one was like in a good light. Where is it? I don't know. But yeah, when I find it, I'll read it out loud. But it was a good one and I thought I would share it. So when you think towards our relationship, what aspect of it would you like to talk about? You and I have been friends for a while. Had conversations. What aspect would you like us to kind of dive in and talk about?
Interesting. I have a question. If somebody asks you, why are you friends with Eunice? What would your answer be?
I really just like her. I don't like a lot of people.
Friendship, so to say.
Yes. I genuinely just love you. And I don't feel judged when I'm with you. I think I try to be in environments where I feel accepted for who I am. So every time I interact with you, even if it's on a call, in person, you and I randomly meet at events, or if I don't even talk to you for months, which happens, right? You never question my ability to disappear. Like, that's not a red, that's not like something that's a deal breaker for you. It's like, you really just accept me. You call me out, you do, but you also accept me to say, that's such an Aka thing to do. And if you don't like it, you'll be like, hey, I don't like this and this and this and that. And I accept it. I'm like, oh, hey, I'm sorry. Or sometimes you don't say, and I just come like, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't do this for you. So I think that over the years, somebody that always felt like I'm not loved, I'm not liked a lot, it's really good to kind of find my own people that I don't have to do anything for them to like me or for them to want me around. And you're, over the years, we've cultivated that relationship for ourselves where...
Wow, that's so powerful.
It's very unspoken. Yeah, it's making me very emotional. It's very unspoken, but we're always good. Right. So for me, yeah, and I think I appreciate that. And I also accept that not a lot of people will get that from me or I'll ever get that from them, which is very fine. We all have different elements and how we want to be loved. But over the years, even after COVID, I think you and I also had like this deep conversation last year when the year was starting about relationships and friendships and how I'm also very intentional about my friends and how I want to show up. When we had that conversation, how I viewed relationship was different because it was also a different season in my life. How I am interacting with my friends now or even with you is very different. Because I'm also in a very different season in my life. So having someone like you or be there for you in your different seasons, and sometimes you don't even know what I'm going through, like you're just there, to just say, okay, let this one pass and we can see the next step and not feel judged, is something I'm really grateful for. Yeah.
Wow. You know what I'm thinking to myself right now? That this whole thing, I'm the presenter, you're the guest, because a person like me who's such a listener will bombard you with questions and you find yourself talking.
You didn't answer my question though. I haven't forgotten.
because let me respond to
you. Seeing you, by the way. So that was the first part, right? Why would I want to be? Why are we friends? It still takes me back to the original question. If you are given an opportunity to dissect our one aspect of our friendship, what would that be and why?
Okay, well, I think in the many years of exploring friendships and also just understanding the dynamics of it, I have come to realize that in as much as you would want it to be as such, it's never really possible to have one friend for literally everything.
True.
I think we are friends with people for different, we are friends with different people for different parts of our life, I could put it that way. And I think for you and I, it's been a very, very interesting dynamic and journey. And now I'm thinking, girl, we've grown into our friendship without necessarily, how can I put this? Without necessarily thinking about it, so to say. It's like, oh, Aka, it's been 3 years and we're here. And I think
I know.
Friendship that I would dissect is the part where we have heart to heart conversation. I don't even know what to tag those, that part of our friendship.
Yeah.
I to have conversations with so many people and I don't allow a lot of people to speak into my life. I remember you made reference to one of the conversations we had last year. Things like that really just drive me. And I was at a confused point in my life. I don't even know what was going on, but I was just all over the place. And when we had that conversation, it really had me thinking, and subconsciously, it's had me going and making decisions based off that conversation. It's how you say, hey, Eunice, there's this thing going on. Would you like to jump on it? Even when you don't know whether I'm available for it, you can just... What do I do with this? How do I go about it? I'm so overwhelmed. I can't.
No, I get it.
Of a friendship that I love is just being able to support each other without the hassle of, hey, why haven't you done this for me? Or why haven't you done that for me? It's just being at liberty to be able to show up for you and you show up for me in the convenient way possible for you. No hard feelings and things like that. And I think I saw that during my wedding. You know, you are very understanding. I had no idea. There are just some people that stress me out for being their friend. It's just like this. To say that.
I get it. Weddings are stressful, by the way.
And I really do appreciate that I can still safely come back and say, oh, okay, now I'm here.
I'm back.
How can we move forward from here?
Yeah.
I think there are, and you're one of them, there are people who are in my life that I don't understand. How can I say it? Like, how do you care so much about me? Like, I don't even do so much for you, but you choose to be in my space and so intentionally. You know, it makes me, in fact, I wouldn't say it makes me, it has started to make me realize who really is important, who really I need to show up for. Not necessarily as a way to pay back, but just to appreciate that, look, I didn't ask for you to do this, but you do it effortlessly. And I appreciate your efforts for that. And I don't know whether that part of our friendship has a title. I don't think
it does. And I always say this to everybody else getting married who are my friends. I'm always like, if anybody will get it, I get it. If I get married and I have to chop heads, please be comfortable with the fact that you're part of the heads I might be chopping. Not that because I don't like you or I don't love you, but decisions had to be made, right? Sometimes it's like, you told me this, Aka, at this point, this marriage is not even about me and my husband, it's about the family. And I got it, because, yeah, like everybody says, it becomes a whole communal thing, and everybody wants to say something about it, and sometimes you don't have control. So just that as an example, I try not to be too self-centered, to think, I know I'm important, I just don't always think that the best decision I could make is be as important as others or compare myself. Like, if you love me, Eunice, you should be able to do this for me as you do it for other people. I think that would... I used to be that way, and it was so horrible. I was always heartbroken that people didn't like me. Now I'm just like, we love people differently, and that's okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
Really, it's to be in that position comes with a lot of experience, first of all, and wisdom. Because if I didn't have my wedding and I never experienced any of the things that I did experience, I think I'd be one of those who'd complain. But after my experience, trust me, no hard feelings at all for any one of my friends who'd be in a position to not be able to invite me, not because they don't care about me. And I think that's one thing to be able to understand.
That yeah.
About, I don't care about you. Is, are you able to understand enough that if other people are selected based off whatever reasons, it's not necessarily that I don't care about you or like you enough compared to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also just understanding that, look, hey, I had a lot of people approach me, and I really appreciate that. Look, regardless of whatever happens, we are still here to celebrate more things.
It's just one aspect.
This is one of many events to come. So
yeah.
No stress, just do what you gotta do, and we'll be here to support you. And I think we all need that type of position to be in, that to know that, look, I have your back, Aka, whether I am physically here or not, in any way possible that I can support, I am still here to support. That is one of the things that would help friendships. And also just being honest. It's very hard to be honest.
I like people that are honest and straight to the point. I hate it when people have to drag shit. Sorry. But I do. I really don't like it. And I just say it, né? Like, say it. So one thing about honesty is you get to say it in the most kindest way possible, but you're not responsible for how you react, how the other person reacts, right? As long as it's as pure as it comes and you're being kind about it, but you still have to say the truth. How I react to it is not your responsibility. Now, that's me managing my emotions. So when people, I think in Zambia, it has to do with tradition, where people have to sugarcoat stuff instead of just saying, hey, this happened, and unfortunately, I can't do this for you at this moment. We get to be passive aggressive. And the other person gets passive aggressive. Then it becomes a whole cycle, because, again, you still love each other and still want to be in each other's life. So you don't want to just have that aggression and have that conversation. So, yeah, for me, it's like, just say it. Like, just say it. And however I react is not your responsibility. It's really on me to how best I can manage my emotions.
Like, would you rather be kind or honest?
I would rather be both. I think you can still be... You could still say something kindly... Honestly, kind. In a certain way, if you're having a conversation with somebody, how you engage with it. So if I want to have a conversation with, if I was offended, right, about not being invited to your wedding, imagine if I have a conversation with you 2 days later after the wedding. Hey, Eunice, I didn't like that you didn't invite me to your wedding. Everything I've done for you, we've been this together, like a whole speech. That's 2 days. Yes, you're tired. You're still trying to breathe. Now you're trying to manage my emotions. I think that would be unkind. Just even the whole approach of playing the victim would still also be unkind. But if we're having this conversation a month later or 2 months later, and I'm like, hey, I didn't feel great that I wasn't invited to your wedding. And I wish that you could have told me earlier, because I was so ramped out about it. And it's just okay that you didn't tell me, but I just honestly would have loved the honesty of saying, hey, you're not being invited, and give me the context and everything. Don't you think that's more kind?
To be honest, it's just a lot happening all at once. And so the latter could really save you the stress of coming back later, like, oh, okay. But again, when you think about it, these are things that we normally talk about, but when we are living mm-hmm. every, it becomes not everyone can be what? Not everyone can be this and that and that.
But they made us contribute.
Wow. It's not easy to go to someone and be like, oh, so you're not because of easier said than done. But in all,
but think about our relationship,
honestly,
right?
I think life has a way in which it does evolve.
I'll give an example of how it
some
happens.
People will approach you.
Yeah.
People will not say, they'll just sit quietly and wait. And if you don't make a move, and that's it, you're dead. You stop being their friend, they'll never speak to you again. That's it.
That's very passive aggressive. But think about how it went down for me and you, right? I asked you beforehand to say, hey, I know you're getting married. What are the events? You gave me the events. Aka, we're having a chilanga milo on this day. We're doing this and this and this. I even asked, am I invited to the wedding? No, Aka, you can come to church, but the reception is tight. You get it, right? Yeah. It's like, okay, maybe because I also know myself and I like information beforehand. So I just really just want to get over with it so I don't put you in my program as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's also me being kind to you to know that now you know that, well, I now don't have to worry about Aka or what will happen after the wedding after Aka because she's not invited. That type of thing. So it's both parties. Also, you can't ask for people what you don't have. And some people just are not ready to receive certain things. So it's also really just learning and reading the environment.
Do you think that there are situations where some friendship demand more for them to be able to grow? And maybe it's an issue of you haven't yet grown into, I don't even know how to put this in context. Like, the level of friendship that you and I have is totally different from the level of friendship that I share with different people. And for some, the perspective and the understanding is totally different. So it's like other people have to be held onto, like, oh, carried through, and you have to explain gently, because in as much as you do, sometimes on other people and just make them think they don't matter to you at all. But I think being a bride,
aside from that, I would say that it depends someone's awareness of their emotions. I can know how I want to be loved with my friends and my family and my romantic partner. I know how I want to be loved. And how I want to be loved, you can't come to me, Eunice, and tell me, well, Aka, that's not how I want to love you. No. You have to learn to love me the way I am, right? That's like pure love. In turn, I get to learn how to be compassionate and meet you where you are as well. Right? It stops being about me. Because you're truly just loving me for me. Then, because I also have to love you. I get to love you for you. And we get to meet a middle ground. Do I think it's healthy that certain relationships are fragile? No, I don't. But certain relationships will be fragile in certain seasons. Do they always have to be fragile? No. Right? If I am in a fragile state now and how you talk to me, Eunice, is very different to how you talk to me in a different season. So it's just, where is this person in their life? When I'm past that stage, I always can't use that as an excuse to try to manipulate you to do something, even if you love me.
Mm.
I don't think that's right. So for me, it's always how my friends loved me 3 years ago when I was in university is very different to how they love me now. Right? Because I now have to outgrow that season. So even how I picture myself and how I show up is different because of whatever is happening in my life. Am I stepping back? Am I stepping up? Or am I just going to stand on neutral ground?
Yeah.
So it's about self-awareness to say, this is Eunice and this is the stage in her life. She's Eunice is always transitioning, guys. She's doing this and this and this. How do I want to show up for her? Does she need me in her space or does she need a break? Like for me, example, like everybody knows, like me, I'm always taking a break. Like, the best way to love me is to give me space.
So at some point, I just said, Aka, I'm going to mute you. You used to like post a break, guys, breathe. And then you're in the background working. I'm like, bad girl.
I feel bad that maybe at one point I show people that I don't work. I feel bad. Also, my other friend was like, tell people the truth. You're actually working and you're very hardworking. Stop telling people you're lazy.
It's only July. Rest. Okay, no. I do that.
But guys, it's August. You know what? This thing don't matter in heaven. I still think that. It's just that I have big dreams. If it was up to me, I could just be in the village. But I'm just trying to follow what God called me to do on this earth. So, one thing you need is you keep breaking. I keep losing your audio.
I don't know what's happening. My internet is all set. I don't know, maybe again at this point I can't. Can I switch the internet? Let's try.
Okay. But also it does mean we're in Zambia. If anyone was wondering which country I'm in recently.
I mean, you've never been to other parts of Zambia, so you just never know.
I wish I was at a different part of Zambia. But I'm here. Should say a lot about me. But honestly, I still think it's just July. It's just August. There's so much time to achieve your goals. I am not lazy. I'm actually a busy girl. But I also believe in rest. So please rest. Disappear. Let them feel your absence.
And still bounce back. Because I think one of the things that has been a little challenging for me is resting. And then losing. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, no. I lost you, actually. Let me try to get my internet. Maybe it's me. It's me. I'm the problem. It's me. Why are you laughing?
Ready for this conversation. All right, while we're at it and you're changing your internet, I was just asking you about momentum and rest. My sister the other day was like, Eunice, you don't rest. Girl, rest. And I'm like, how do I rest and still continue working? Because the bills have to be paid somehow. And
we also have responsibilities, new responsibilities. For me, it was... I also didn't think I deserved rest. I think we think you have to deserve rest, and there's something you need to do to achieve rest, I think. So for me, I am also a very hyper performer, and I like to perform So even if it's not for me, it's like, okay, so how do I make my younger sister's life easier? Or what do I need to help out my mom? And these are aspects of my life I don't share. It's like, I really look like I'm living life for myself. But over the years, it's been, how do I make my younger sister's life better? How do I help my mom do this? What happens is when you are such a giver, a lot of people are ready to just receive. And a lot of people are just okay receiving because you've been doing it. And you've been doing it. Even if people didn't ask you to do it, you've been doing it. You've been great at it. So I found myself in a space where I think last year is when I started having honest conversations to say, hey, I know I could actually carry this on, but I actually can't because it means it takes away from everything else I'm doing. So if I want to be 100%, I want to just show up in this specific way. So I started putting boundaries when it comes to people, and boundaries for myself as well, because it's not even people who have a problem, it's me. You'd be thinking sometimes you have to show up a certain way, but some people just need you to exist. And some people just are happy that you're alive. And I think that's what's keeping me sane. But I also don't want that to break my momentum. But I know if I disappear for a week, nothing will fall apart. You know, because it'd be like, if I go, won't people forget me? I like when people say, like, some people won't even notice you're not there.
I think, thinking about this, the people that actually care will notice you.
And they'll be happy that you're there, is what I would think. They'll be happy and they'll respect the fact that you're taking rest. But again, for me, speaking for myself, when it comes to consistency and momentum, it's all about pleasing the public, honestly. Right? Anyway, not now. Not now. I do stuff because I want to, and it's good for me and it's good for my business, but I can always step back. But initially it was, hey, I should get that LinkedIn post out because I want people to know I'm doing great. I should get that book review out on Instagram because I want people to know I'm doing great and I want people to think about the work I'm doing. It was always about that. And it becomes more tiring because yet I'm just thinking of that. I'm thinking, what would Eunice think if I am not posting? And the whole time this year, I've been living my best life. And hey, like, I appreciate you support the work I do. And I'm laying groundwork for my company. The fact that I'm not posting doesn't mean I'm not doing anything. The fact that I'm not showing you doesn't mean I'm not doing anything. I'm doing great. The business is doing great. It's growing, it's flourishing. I am going the direction I'm supposed to go into at this particular time. Anything else feels like a chore. And I think that also goes for like events. Am I going to an event because I want to go to an event? Or is it because I want people to know that I go to events so I can post about them, so I can brag that I met this person? I could have met this person and I like them very much, but am I doing it from a place of bragging so people can know that I know this person? One thing about me, you never know who I know. Like, it's fine. As long as we're good, you know what I mean? So this year I've been, I think not even this year, the past 2 years, I think I say no to events. You always go like, bro, I'm even surprised I've bumped into you here. Because I'm just like, am I coming because I want to come and I want to have a good time and I want to learn? Or is it from a place of insecurity and I want to associate and be known? Yeah, I'm at a place where I do stuff from my own face to say, hey, I really just want to do this because it would be great for the business and me. And I think this knowledge would impact my business and I like the network. But if I'm doing it just because, and also I feel like I'm being interviewed. Also, be wary of stuff you think you should do. Because when you don't do it, you feel shame.
Right.
Every time you say, I should do that, you kind of need to interrogate why you think you should do that. Because when you don't do it, you feel so much shame. I should have invited this person. I should have attended that event. Every single time, I think a good example is I was in Mongu. There was a good Google event happening. I was part of the people disseminating information about that event. And my uncle took me to Mongu. He brings me back. That's his role in my life. I don't like transport, public transport. If I can avoid it, I will. So we stayed a bit longer because my uncle's work was dragging. And I got so anxious because I thought I should come for the event, man. Like, if I don't come, if people didn't know I was at that event, what would happen? And I just put my tools down and said, why should I be at this event? Why do I feel the need to be there? Like, it will still go on without me. Like, if I die today, this will still go on. So, yeah. When I just asked myself why I should do it, and didn't make sense, and I was okay waiting a few days to come back, I didn't. So always be wary of times you think you should do something.
I have been applying that principle even after my wedding. I have been applying that principle in so many areas of my life. And I'm still learning, trying to find ground, because honestly, it's not as easy as 1, 2, 3. The intrinsic nature in us always feels like all they should see, all they should hear, without even consciously realizing that that is the intent. But
yeah,
helps also settle your mind in terms of like having peace of mind and doing what you should do at what point. For me, I believe that when I experience something, I want to be able to experience the fullness of the energy of it before I can share that energy with others. And so sometimes you find the excitement and the momentum to post about it even actually dies down by the time I'm coming to post or share about it. So it becomes like, oh, this happened. And yeah, I enjoyed it. But to be able to experience the fullness of it before anyone else comes to find out, knows about it, just gives me the joy to be able to live my life in full and at my own terms. Yeah. And I really just enjoy experiencing all of it. It's called growth. We are growing and learning how to interact with people, interact with nature, interact with society, and also just how to have boundaries and choose our peace over any other thing in the day, any time. Yeah.
I like something that you kind of giving me a light bulb moment on. I think it's very important to kind of know, put a boundary on what type of validation you want online or from people you don't know, right? If you, again, for me, I speak from a place of, I hope you're self-aware. I hope you know about yourself. I hope you know how you want to be loved, your default roles, how you behave, and things about yourself you'd like to change. Like, I think that's something, like, in me, I have a list of stuff. I'm always like, dang, I should do this differently. Not should. I hope I get to do this differently, right? Because if I say should, it comes with so much shame. The thing about social media is it's us seeking validation from people we want, we don't know. So you could get this validation and still be very unhappy. And I think that's very true. The moments where you share something and you don't feel great about it because it didn't get what you thought it would get when it comes to the interactions and the congratulations. One thing over the years I started doing was if I get good news, I call 3 of my friends. If something bad happened, I call 3 of my friends, right? And we talk about it and I don't get to post about it. And that's how we've managed to keep my life very top secret. Things happen and I'm just quiet about it because I could post like, oh my goodness, I got into this. Or I could just tell my friend, and they'll be very happy I got in because they know how hard I've been working in about it. And then I just get done. I don't tell anybody. So I always just tell somebody I'm closest to. Then everything else I share, it's what I think about the world and how I view it and what I would like to contribute is what I share on social media. It's very personal, but also impersonal. Like, there's a third, like, I'm like, I don't want to share this because it feels personal for me. And what type of validation am I trying to get from the world if I share this? If it's not right, it's not right. So, yeah.
Speaking of knowing what to share and what not to share, we have entered into a world where you don't even know what to keep as private. This is what should be put out there as content. How do you then choose what should be for content and what should be private? Because there's always the need to feel like you have to share. By the way, there's something that I'm eager to share, but no, it's not necessary. There's no need. Nobody cares. And even if they do, it doesn't help them in any way, you know? So there's no point. They'll find out either ways. I know you are curious to know what it is, but no, I'm not going to tell you too. So yeah, how do you then keep the boundary between what should be content versus what should you experience as reality, your real life, and just keep, not necessarily keep it as a secret, but just live your life?
I feel like I'm being interviewed. Wow, Eunice. I would think that the certain thing is you just share with your friends. You know what I mean? Like, share it in the group, girls' WhatsApp group. Text a friend about it. And have a conversation with a friend. My friends and I have an ability to kind of, I tend to give my opinion about other people's life, even when it's none of my business. So I really do shut up a lot. Or sometimes when I want to give my opinion about something, or a post I saw, I take a screenshot, I text it to my friend, and we talk about it. Right? I think that it's not everything we should share. This should be a thin line, and hope you have good friends that will tell you, like, damn, delete that now. You're embarrassing us. That type of friendship, because you never want to think you're up there too much. That no one can correct you. But certain things, only your friends should know you that way. Only your partner should know you that way. Only your family should know you that way. Like, it's a reason why there were family secrets, guys. The reason why there were secrets in friendship. It doesn't have to be on a TikTok. It doesn't have to be on the blog somewhere. It doesn't have to be a post. That should have just been a conversation with you and your friends drinking wine. There's a reason. It ends there. Because sometimes in the moment you feel like, I should share. Then it happens and you're like, damn.
We keep talking about having shame, and sometimes we overhype ourselves, overpromise, and when we don't meet that expectations for ourselves, tend to walk in shame. It's like, oh, I said that, but then I failed. So what would they think? And to be honest, for me, that felt like that when I was building my business. Like, oh, I even had a launch. You look at your pictures and be like, should I post about it? We'll just think, ugh, this dang business after all.
Yeah.
That would put ourselves into the situation. By the way, I've texted you something. This is the secret conversation. Yeah, I'll put it here on air, but
wait,
no.
Wait, where'd you text me? I'm not online on WhatsApp. Could you just text it on chat on Zoom?
Absolutely.
Okay, so is the text you telling me you were running late with this conversation?
No, absolutely not. I'm enjoying this.
Wow. I don't know what you texted me. But anyway, I'm not an expert on emotional intelligence and shame, but I think that one of my favorite podcasts and person to follow when it comes to this is Joe Hudson. From the Art of Accomplishment. So they have different, the Art of Accomplishment podcast, they have different topics when it comes to shame and all this that are very important. Like, I know a lot about myself because of that. And I understand my emotions better. Yeah, and I understand and understand. Wow. I'm about to scream. Yeah, but wow, Eunice, don't tell me you use like that when I am trying to be constructive. I am trying to understand my emotions better and everything. And this comes from self-awareness, right? When you are self-aware and you want to learn about yourself, you start seeking the type of knowledge that takes you on a different level, right? So The Art of Accomplishment, I've been listening to this podcast for like over a year. And I like it. I introduce it to all my friends. Because all my friends are like, oh, I'm going through this. I would be like, tell them what I think. But I'd also be like, hey, listen to this podcast. I think you like his work. Right? Because there's so much I can do. Because if I say it, it will seem as if I'm judging you. And I'm not being a good friend. I'm just not listening. So sometimes people tell you their problems for you to just listen and be hyped up. And for the rest, it's just to be like, hey, I'm just here. But I have a great resource for you. And I think even with my work, I always feel like when I share a lot about my work, I feel like I'm oversharing. Or maybe I feel myself to have had achieved certain things at a certain particular time. Or I can't outrun that. But now what my organization does is we just share. We just share the resources we have. No judgment. Please share. And when you want to have a conversation with us, have it. Then we'll be happy to guide you. But just have the awareness that there's this other life out there. And there are other opportunities for you. Does that make sense? I feel like, I don't know if I dragged this or answered the question.
You're overthinking it, I think.
Yep. Wow. Moving on to, Eunice is no longer allowed to ask.
Okay, yes, please. Oh my God.
Moving on. This is going to be an interesting podcast to listen to. When you think about your life and some of the life choices you've made, setting a business that to you felt like a failure, but to us, we're so proud of you. And also now getting into starting another business that has to do with public speaking and engaging with people at that spectrum and being an MC. How have you seen yourself transition?
I just needed to take one step at a time and also to be able to understand that everything that I am gifted at is very interconnected, interlinked, and intentional. So all I needed was to be able to see which piece fits the puzzle and where it's supposed to sit. And that is what I have done this year. And right after my marriage, and also just being to be able to be with a partner who understands my skill set, we've been able to re-strategize how we're going to approach that rather than the conventional way of or do business in a certain way. Because now I have moved from where I used to live. That means that the store and everything else has to sort of like shift because it was closer to home. So now I have moved to a different part of town. That too gets to change. With regards to me being the international host that I tag myself to be, emceeing and all that, we have taken a holistic approach. We've now introduced public speaking training, and as well for me, it's been a moment where I had to think, I'm skilled at this, but what am I qualified at? Because sometimes when people approach you, and they're probably looking at things, they're thinking, what are you doing in this industry? So for me, it's been trying to get together qualifications that cement my skill set so that I carry authority in that space. I don't want to just show up as a master of ceremony. Okay, what else are you apart from just being a master of ceremony? And so for me, it's been, what program can I enroll in that to build on what I am already skilled at, even as I continue to grow in that space? Because where I want to take that skill set is a different level. But there are certain levels that you never access until you get acquainted with certain information. It makes it faster and easier so that you don't feel like you're just at the table as just that, being apologetic. No, I want to be at the table confidently so that I am qualified to be there. I know the conversations around whatever it is that we are discussing. I understand what we're talking about. And it's not just a topic that has been given to me for me to go through at that particular time. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm always thinking when a year starts, when a month starts, I'm always thinking if I want to be, there's always a different level I want to be at the next year. So if next year, August, if I want to be at a different level, what do I need to do to get there? Because I think that when you look at life that way, you take it slowly, but you understand to say, I don't want to have the same problems. I don't want to have the same challenges or rewards. I want them to grow. I want them to evolve. And what do I need to do differently? So lately, I have been thinking about public speaking because I now speak in front of people so much and I get distracted easily, as you have all noticed. And I realize that I always do so much. Like when I'm speaking, I'm like so to connect a sentence or my thoughts. And I'm like, I really need to get to stop using that. But like, tell me about your public speaking classes and how we can all enroll for them so we can become better speakers. Yeah.
Do so. The only thing that stops me from evaluating people's speeches is because I don't want to offend anybody. But every time I'm listening to people, I'm evaluating them. I'm thinking, how could that have been said better? Or that shouldn't have been said that way, but I can't help it, you know. So to quench the fire, our training are only for 1,000 culture, and that's sessions. We've had people who came up into the training and thought, maybe this wouldn't work. But at the end of the training, I'll tell you for a fact that that sounds different. So our trainings usually run from the first week of the month to the last week of the month with 6 sessions, but only 1,000 kwacha. And that is just for this year because we're growing, we're evolving, we're introducing new things. So take advantage while the price, that is not even a price. That is just an investment for the quality of your ability to speak well, your ability to communicate effectively so that your point is run across clearly. Yeah.
And for everybody listening, I'm getting that for free.
I think after this chat, you and I.
Oh, have yeah, that made her laugh so loud because she's like, wow, she said that out loud. But it makes sense. I could, but I won't. Adding on to what you said, I think for someone to grow and for your business to grow, like you said, you might have a skill set, but you now start asking yourself, what am I qualified to do? What am I accredited to do? And one thing as a country, it's we're now learning how to monetize skill sets, soft skill sets, because we're really used to the technical side of everything. Like technical skills are already monetized. That's like formal learning and that's the way everybody's going. Well, that's the route everybody's heading anyway. So when you're from home, they always tell you about the technical skill sets that you need. When you get into industry, you realize to say, or when you run a business like I do, you realize to say, how I communicate to people will relate to how much business I can get. And I'm learning that a lot. I'm like, okay, so if I really want good business, I really need to learn how to communicate better. Because the more I communicate better, the more I make more sales. And public speaking is like one of the skill sets. So for me, it's not even the fact that I can't speak in front of people. It's I need to construct my sentences better and become more prepared because I don't have stage fright or anything. So it's all that. And I really like that you guys have evolved, and I've seen this transition this year and created a company that is for that and helping people achieve their dreams through public speaking.
We're always communicating. We're always sharing ideas. We are always speaking, whether it is on stage or simply having a conversation like you and I. And if we're not able to articulate our ideas clearly, chances are that we'll misunderstand each other. And before you know it, there is conflict. And so communication is at the core of everything. And what we teach is not just the ability to train people to speak well, but also communicate effectively. And it's been very, very fulfilling to be able to see people coming to the training with preconceived mindset of it won't work, I will not communicate effectively, to them sharing testimonials like, I made a presentation at work and I broke down technical information into simpler ways and understanding. And for the first time, I got feedback from my team that that presentation was one of the most engaging and they understood everything I was trying to communicate. For us, that is very fulfilling, and that is our goal, really.
When you look forward to what your business will look like or the future, what are some of the things you're really excited that are coming up business-wise and just for you and that you'd like to share?
Sorry, could you say that again?
I'm saying when you look forward to what the future holds, what are some of the things that are exciting for you and the business and you'd like to share?
Oh, the future is bright. One of the things I'm looking forward to is becoming an author, becoming a mother.
Next time I'll be introducing you as Eunice, my friend, the book author. Please continue.
I'm excited about so many other things, but most important is just growing the business and seeing it evolve. But because now my husband and I are running our businesses together, so we have our media company, we also have the training company, and of course the beauty business. So it's just being able to incorporate all those three businesses and seeing them grow.
I like that you are a power couple. When we talk about couples that are power couples, you guys are giving. I think when you have a partner that runs a business and you run a business too, and you get married and you start running businesses together, you understand every aspect of your life because you all understand what certain things would mean for your household and for the businesses. Even finances are aligned because of that. So it's really great to see that how you are merging every aspect of your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Eunice, I want to give you an opportunity to ask me a question.
Haven't I asked you all the questions?
Do you have one more question to ask?
Can I get 30 seconds to think through?
Sure. The fact that you're thinking, I should be worried, but sure. Yeah.
Okay, no, not to worry. It's just really this question that I'd always... It's a very simple question, but it's a two-in-one type of question.
Okay.
When you think about your next 5 years or your last 5 years, how have you positioned that statement for your life? Because some people come and ask you, oh, so where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? And I'm glad you asked me, where do I see myself in the future, and didn't put really a tag in terms of the timing frame? Because to be honest, I think I'm starting to hate that statement. Oh, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? When does your next 5 years start, or has it already started? Or when does it come to an end to be able to accomplish the things that you set in that time frame? I don't know whether I've asked you too many things, but I hope you understand.
No, I think I understand. When I look at the last 5 years, I think when you ask me, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I start mine from 2022. Okay. I was very intentional about my life from 2022. I made major decisions, business-wise, skill sets-wise, to what I am today. So because my goals, our 2022 goals, like I said, setting goals intentionally in 2022, it's very easy for me to say, oh, it's been, what, 3 years or 4 years now since, it's been, what, 3 years? Yeah, it's been 3 years. So my five-year clock has not yet ticked in, but I look back and I have seen how intentional and how my life has drastically changed. A lot of things that I thought would break me didn't. A lot of relationships, friendship-wise and romantic, didn't work, but also needed to ended. So because for me, I really know my environment is everything. I've been very intentional about my friendships. I haven't been very intentional about my relationship. My relationships, because I, romantic, that would say, because I do want to meet a partner that will understand where I'm going. Every time I get a chance to really share, I can break down my goals. I know them at heart. I can break them down to tell you at this point, I want to achieve this. At that point, I want this to go this way. I could do that, but then it's hard to find somebody that understands or is as ambitious for their life or self-aware of what they want. And I also realize my goals, I turn off to certain people, which is valid and okay. I just won't engage. Or I'll just, my brain always automatically cuts people off because I'm like, that's a red flag. I'm out. So yeah, one thing I'm grateful for is the last 3 years has taught me to be really good when it comes to relationships. And I'm very big on foundation. I try my best not to be a type of girl that, you know how things could move fast? Like you build a career and you start getting these big promotions or big shiny shinies before you're supposed to. I know that could break you. So I'm very big on foundation. And yeah, the 5 years mark from 2022 is just about foundation. Have solid friendships because life is hard alone on the top. Be very intentional and not follow the norms when it comes to romantic relationship. One of the norms is find your husband in university. Yeah. Ran away from that. Because it makes everything a little harder. So, like I said, my five-year mark has not reached. But what do I look forward to in the next 5 years is travel more. Partner up with really big organizations for my company. Since I'm still... What?
Not to cut you short. So you're saying 2023, 24, 25. So you only have 1 year to close. Yeah. 5 years gap, right? And then we start
fresh. Yeah, now we start asking for what we see after 2026, what my 5 years would be like, looking forward. The next 5 years. Are we communicating effectively at this point?
1 year, because we're still in the 5 year gap.
Yeah, we are. That's why I'm saying that for this 5 year gap, for this first 5 years, because I'm still in the 5 years, my foundations were important. So my foundations was not follow the norms. Incorporate a company and own companies. I do own two. Start building them. So I'm actually living my goals right now in the five-year period. Like I have good friends. I have businesses I am building. So a year to go to. This is done. Thanks for that. I'm trying to wrap up everything because now hopefully the foundation will be good enough to build a house. So to build a company. And still keep the same relationships that I've had over the year. And when I go to the next 5 years, which will be starting next year, I think that, I think I mentioned travel more, build a company, building the company, now start building to like window level or something. But also now start partnering up with organizations. that would believe in the work we're trying to do. Yes. So I think that the first 5 years are slow. I expect the next 5 years, starting next year, to be a little bit faster because I also have the capacity and skill sets to run the type of business I'm running. I want to run anyway. Oh, I'm running it already. But yeah, so does that answer your question?
Yes, it does answer my question perfectly, because what I was avoiding is to go into the next 5 years and then we haven't, the previous 5 years are not done and then we're talking about the next 5 years. But also, you've been able to clarify what it is that you planned for your current 5 years and what you're still trying to achieve. And then now you go into speaking about, okay, so when this cup is done, we'll open then another chapter of the next 5 years, and this is what I'm looking forward to. So I like that it's very specific, because I think we find ourselves in instances where we're in a circle of the next 5 years, and you don't even know when they start or when they end. Before you know it, you don't realize what you have achieved and for how long. And maybe it took you 10 years.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. And one thing, so I'm actually looking at my vision board, talking to you, right? One thing I did, because I've been using the same vision board for 3 years. One thing I did on my vision board was, I have every aspect. I have me speaking on a stage, me hanging out with my friends, me traveling, me hiking, me camping, all those stuff, right? I had an element on my vision board that had to do with relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a man I was hugging, like a picture of a couple. And today, this year, when we were redoing our vision boards, so we had to remove certain things we've achieved. And I had an honest conversation with myself to say, this was never part of the goals. Like, even the way I live my life now isn't one to sustain a relationship, because relationships take for you to be very intentional about it. And I had to remove it, replace it with travel. Because I had to be honest with myself to say, hey, you, as much as you think you want this, do you want it, or is it because people keep asking you about it?
Oh, wow.
Most things and most instances, we are, like, even for the past month, when I started my work with a new client, the amount of times I have been asked about my boyfriend. I do have somebody I like and joke around, and I'm like, bruh, they're like really asking me about your name. Like, let me give them your number, you know? But I also had to have a conversation to say, on top of my list of things I want to achieve, having one isn't top of it, fortunately for me. And that's also okay. And it's also okay if my other friends, that's top of your list. So it's really when you, like you said, being very specific and knowing when the cap starts, like, okay, my 5 years, like for me, it started in 2022 and in 2026. The next 5 years will be 2026 to 2031, I guess, or 2030. What does that mean for me? And which aspects of my life am I going to work on and be intentional about? It literally just takes away the anxiety, the societal pressure, and everything else. Because I'm like, as much as this is cute, it's not top of my list. And that's also okay. Yeah. So even when you're having conversations with people, you could just listen and be like, yeah, it's still not top of my list, but thanks.
I think that does answer the question perfectly well. And I do hope that somebody out there who's listening gets to the benefit from this conversation.
Me too. I hope whatever this is, whatever you get from this conversation, it's okay to have internet challenges is one, and a good conversation with a friend too. And like Eunice said, cap stuff. When people are, and maybe this is why I don't ask where do you see yourself in 5 years? I ask what do you look forward to? Because it's easy for me to ask that than the 5 years, because again, Now I'm using your analogy. We do not know when it started and when it ended. So it's hard to actually be specific and talk about that transition. But yeah, like I hope they, I don't even know what they'll get from this conversation. I think they'll get a lot, but I hope they enjoy it. I would say, maybe, makes sense. Well, guys, we're at the end of this episode because you know, I can stop talking for a living. Thank you so much for listening in and just being here to the end. I hope you enjoyed it. It's something I've been wanting to do with Eunice for a while. Very unscripted, not very planned. That would be me. And you get to see her in her element, asking me a lot of questions. If you want to learn more about her work, we will share more about her work in the bio. If you feel like this was such an enriching conversation, please share it with your friends and subscribe to our channels. With that being said, bye for now.